me tell you who's doing sneakers the best in the game right now. That's New Balance. The two-way V4, featuring this groundbreaking use of technology with fresh foam. It's called Fuel Cell, creating this combination that we love of rebound and cushioning. Fresh foam offers unparalleled cushioning for maximum comfort your entire game from start to finish. The upper construction features this lightweight textile that reduces weight, which we all need, I know I do, while remaining supportive and breathable. Hard to find that combo. The two-way V4 gives you the tools that you need to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way V4 at newbalance.com. On this episode of the Heat Check, let's do something different. Everybody's thinking about March Madness. Everybody's thinking about college basketball, but I want to talk about some dogs. Woo-hoo. Hungry dogs in the NBA, undrafted guys who played their way into the league. I just think it makes sense considering that, like, there are going to be guys who play well in this tournament and they will not go drafted. And then they will end up being on your favorite team or the irritant against your favorite team. We'll also cover some news from around the league, and we also have an interview with Robin Lundberg of Sports Illustrated. Yes, that folks got a cash infusion. He's here to fill us in on what's popping. Anthony, come on, let's drop that motherfucking beat that should be Rihanna. Hey, we got an episode without talking about the Lakers or the Warriors. Good for us. It feels like every single episode starts with, like, how they're doing. And, like, what is going on with the roster or with the coaching staff or something. Like, some news piece pops, some sort of reporting pops. Yeah, I mean, they're fighting for their fucking life. You know who else is fighting for their fucking life? These hungry dogs are fighting for their life. What do I mean? So, anyway, I did a social clip yesterday, on Keon Ellis of the Sacramento Kings. Check it out on Instagram. He had 5 blocks off the bench the other night. He has been balling for the Kings the past 10 games. I like a ton about Ellis Island, a.k.a. Killa Keon, a.k.a. in a falsetto, because he's got that good D, you know what I'm saying? Good D, pause. But what do I like about Keon? He was an undrafted player who is known for his defensive intensity at Alabama, and he made the all-defensive team as a senior. There is a trend here, and I've seen it with others. And so we got into the lab and dissected whether you could find those hungry dogs and how well they're doing in the NBA right now. Not enough people are talking about these types of players. The guys that may not get everyone's attention because they can't score, but what they bring to the table translates to the next level. So what is this hungry dog type of a player? What are these dogs in the NBA? They're undrafted players, mostly defensive-minded pests, who has a chip on their shoulder, and they have earned everything along the way. They have been given nothing, and that will not leave their shoulder. The chip, I was thinking about it today. I watched a clip I will not share with you. But I was like, oh, I am a hungry dog. These other dogs, these are kennel, AKC kennel certified show dogs. And me, I'm not related to anybody. I don't know anybody that's been in the business or played any sport of any kind. I have to literally take a piece of scrap off the kennel and fight other dogs for it, and they do too. So I love these guys. We're talking about guys who hassle opponents full court press 94 feet, feisty in the paint, causing chaos on the court, probably yelling at their coaches, probably yelling at their GMs, probably yelling at their teammates. Pat Beverly is the archetype of this player. People forget that Patrick Beverly washed out at Arkansas, did not get drafted, had to play 4 years overseas, 4 years, before getting a shot with the Rockets and using his defensive intensity and his strap-like defense and annoying behavior to make a career that still is alive and well today. The Milwaukee Bucks traded for Pat Beverly simply because they had no dogs on that squad. And this is a team that's a championship contender. So let's look at the past 10 drafts. This year being excluded, as it takes sometimes for puppies to emerge into full junkyard dogs. And I think that they become more easy to spot than you think. All right, undrafted rookies who hustle all game long, who harass and hassle other players into making dumb mistakes, who love to get into the mud and get their hands dirty. If Keon Ellis is the hungry dog of the 2022 draft, then the 2021 draft has two of them, Jose Alvarado and Austin Reaves. Austin Reaves hustles so much that he makes Larry Bird look lazy. He may not be like the best defender, but he hustles. He tries. Jose Alvarado, he is on another level. Jose Alvarado is like a miniature pincher. He will bite the shit out of you. Here's what Pel's coach Willie Green said the band they call Grand Theft Alvarado, GTA. He said this, he's extremely unique. I say this jokingly, but it's kind of true. I don't know anyone in the NBA who is 6 feet and under that's nice. All those guys are kind of like chihuahuas. They bite you. They bark. They're ready to fight at any time. That's what makes Jose unique. He's that way. To make it to this level, you kind of sort of have to have that. What did I tell you? Hungry, small, barking chihuahuas. They're out there fucking shit up. Waiting to pick your pocket. Waiting to make you look bad. Waiting to get their shine so that they get paid. The 2020 draft gave us Najee Marshall, who is a dog down in New Orleans, playing hard-nosed defense, still getting 7-4-2 in 19 minutes, alongside Herb Jones, a second-round pick, or he'd be on the hungry dog list as well. Alvarado in New Orleans, man, our man Griff has a type. He likes those junkyard dogs. They come cheap in the beginning, too. Good type of assets when you're building a roster full of dudes that you have to pay a lot of money to, like Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, and Zion Williamson. The 2019 draft is a huge draft for hungry dogs. We get Lu Dort there. No one wants to play Lu Dort. I saw Lu Dort in a t-shirt once. I mean, he's like if Ray Rice. How about this? No, he's like if Ray Lewis decided to play basketball. He's like if Ray Lewis decided he was going to be a shooting guard and then learned how to shoot a jumper from three. He's like if Myles Garrett decided he was going to play basketball. 2019 also gives us Caleb Martin. He's made a career down in Miami as a dog off the bench. There's Naz Reid, who's a nightmare off the bench, just signed a huge contract with the Wolves. And guess what? These dogs are getting paid. 2018 gave us Haywood Highsmith and Gabe Vincent, both Heat guys. Do you sense a trend here? Do you sense a trend here? Miami is a breeding ground for the dogs. Duop Reith out in Portland, who's quietly becoming a monster. LSU, all defense. 2017 produced Chris Boucher, who barked all his way to a title in Toronto. But 2016, folks, is the biggest year for the Hungry Dogs, with a quartet of dudes who define what a hungry dog is. Alex Caruso, the GOAT, a.k.a. the janitor, might be the best on-ball defender in the NBA. Derek Jones Jr., who has athleticism oozing out of his pores, found a home in Dallas. Gary Payton II, who when healthy is a top five defender in the league. Really bounced around for almost forever. Kept that tenacity just like a junkyard dog will have. You can't hold them down. It's just a matter of time before they escape your kennel. And then the king of hungry dogs, Fred VanVleet, who parlayed his chihuahua status to the tune of 3 years and $128 million. And he's not even fully healthy. He's a hungry dog with a sway back. 2015 gives us TJ McConnell, who set an NBA record. By the way, he does have back problems, so it's like a total possible, like it's a real comparison. Anyway, 2015 gives us TJ McConnell, who set an NBA record with 9 steals in one half. 2014 has Maxi Kleber, who went undrafted and parlayed that into a $50 million career so far. 2013 had Rocco and Matthew Dellavedova. Rocco's the only HBCU alumnus in the league in Delhi. I mean, come on. This guy was a hungry dog in Europe and parlayed that to the league into Cleveland to get a championship. Then he hooked on with LeBron, who absolutely loves hungry dogs, and gets them paid. Hungry dogs everywhere. No AKC papers like these purebred Dukies and Jayhawks. Ugh. We don't like those. We don't like those blue blood purebred dogs. Ugh. You push them around a little bit and they squeal. Don't like that. We like ones that growl at you a little bit. These guys have earned everything that they've got, and Lord helps the person that tries to take it away from them. Just like when my dog finds a T-bone bone underneath, some sort of porterhouse bone underneath the 11 Howard bench, and all of a sudden you feel like you might not get your fingers back. So good for those dogs. Find them. Who are they in this draft? That will be part two. We got a lot of news from around the league to get to. So let's begin in Minnesota, where the final acquisition of the Timberwolves has concluded. And Mark Lowry and A-Rod are now officially the owners of one of the best teams in the NBA. What a steal for A-Rod. My goodness. They take over controlling ownership of the Wolves from Glenn Taylor. I tell you what, Glenn Taylor's got to be punching air right now. Has to give up the team right as they're at the peak of their powers. I tell you, some Minnesota fans who are absolutely celebrating to get rid of Glenn Taylor. He was one of the cheapest owners in the league. He was very unpopular in Minnesota. He has been very unpopular for very, very long. So it's great news for the Wolves. And all that remains is approval from the league. And the Glenn Taylor era is officially kaput. Timing couldn't have been better, right? Everyone's talking about the Ant Edwards show. One of the best shows on hardwood. Even Michael Jordan came out and said, yeah, I see myself in Ant. I mean, you can't get a better endorsement than MJ himself, who hates everyone, by the way. MJ tells everyone that Kobe's not even like me. No, this guy, LeBron, absolutely not. Ant Edwards, sure. So Wolves fans have a lot to look forward to now with one of the most explosive players in the world, the number one defense in the league, and now finally owners who aren't trying to squeeze five pennies out of a nickel out of every turn. So congratulations, Wolves fans. You got yourself a legit organization with a legit star. All right, moving on. I was doing my weekly hit in Sacramento with Damian Barling and Kenny Caraway on their D'Lo and Casey show when the subject of Malik Monk came up. Let's go to the tape, shall we?
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive, so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
What do you think he gets out on the open market? I know I posted this on Twitter. People got very mad because they want everybody to be very mum on
Malik, but just between you, me, and the lamppost, you know.
What were they saying? What were they saying to you on that? I saw the tweet, but I didn't go through the comments. What were other, fan bases saying about Malik, like what he might get?
It was mostly Sacramento fans. Like, please don't bring this up right now.
We be jumping people, man. It's true. The truth is our own, and we just be jumping people.
Like, what are you doing? D-Lo, Casey, let her know. We're not supposed to talk about Malik right now. Like, nobody should know about him.
First rule of Malik Monk free agency is to not discuss Malik Monk free agency. It's hard to imagine him not getting an offer in the vicinity of $20 million from someone.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if he got, four offers outside of Sacramento or three offers outside of Sacramento, I feel like they're all ranging between $19 and $21 million.
I think that's the right range.
As someone who is certainly not a Sacramento Kings cap expert, how much do we have to pay him?
Well, it's not the cap. That's the problem. It's the fact that he signed a two-year contract
right. When
we signed him a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And so there's a max that he can be offered because of that structure. And I think it's like 17.5 is where it starts. And then you can have the increments raise after that. But I don't think Sacramento can start above 17.5.
Wow. Let De'Aaron.
And that's why Kings fans are terrifying. That's why Kings fans are terrified and want you to shut up.
Man, I'm really hoping things will work out for the Kings in the league. Fortunately, so does Malik himself. He said this to Anthony Slater the other day. I love to be here, man. I got comfortable here. Made a lot of new friends here. Met a lot of great people here. The city loves me. I love the city. So, yeah, I'd love to come back. The problem is that the Kings did not structure his deal in a way that allows them to be at the head of the negotiating table. Here is what is under the Kings' control. The most that the Kings can offer, because they gave Malik a two-year deal, is a four-year, $78.4 million contract based on having early bird rights, which means the Kings can offer him 175% of this year's salary with raises 8% each year. That is rough. They would keep him comfortably under the salary cap at that point, especially since they don't have a 2024 first rounder to sign. But there are now estimates coming out that there are some young and scrappy upcoming teams that want Malik and could sign him for anywhere between $20 and $22 million per year. For teams looking for somebody who may be the sixth man of the year and maybe offering him a starting spot, will he stay for, I don't know, $30 million less overall than what he could get on the open market? De'Aaron Fox, send that man some flowers or a hooker. I don't know. He's only 25. He's at the prime of his career. If he takes a shorter deal in order to get to his bird rights, that might work for both sides, but why would he? Really? Like, he tears an ACL and he's done. I hope he stays in Sacramento with Fox, but it's not a done deal. And that makes Kings fans and myself and De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown extremely, extremely nervous. All right, moving on. I think it's time for us to revisit and start talking about Jalen Green. We've been quite critical of Jalen Green. I have said he's not a winning player. He has not made winning decisions. Maybe Ime Udoka would make him a winning player like he did the Boston Celtics. In his game on Tuesday night, though, Jalen Green went off for 42 and 10 rebounds. The 42, by the way, was a career high. It was capped by this Jordan-esque dipsy do up and under change reverse hands in the middle of a contest that lit up social media like a firefly in a dark bathroom. It was pretty. Pretty as him. And more importantly, it led to the sixth consecutive win for a streaking Rockets team. So, we've seen highlight plays from Jalen Green, but we have not seen those coincide with wins. In his last 10 games, Jalen Green has been clutch. 27-6-3, 48-40-80 shooting splits. Better yet, though, he's a plus 11 net rating in those 10 games. And like I said, they are streaking. They are winning, meaning he's hugely impacting the Rockets during this win streak. His game against the Lossington Lizards, as we call them, a.k.a. Washington Wizards to you, but they don't get many dubs, so we give them the Lizards title. Saw him put up 42, 11 for 13 from the line, and 7 for 13 from 3, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and a steal in 36 minutes in a game that the Houston Rockets won by 23. What was his net rating in that one? Checks notes, a plus 26. Oh, my goodness. Dude, just impacting winning on both sides of the ball. If only Jalen Green could have gotten Drea pregnant earlier. He's on his grown man status. No more fuckboy-like stat sheets. We're only trying to get plus numbers in terms of impact. And the best part, he's got his eyes on the prize for the first time in his NBA career. He said, I've got a goal now. I'm a dad. He didn't say that. And that's to get to the playoffs. That's just to win. Stack as many W's as we can before the end of the season and pray that we can get in the play-in tournament. That's the focus. Does anybody remember Jalen Green saying anything about stacking wins to get to the playoffs? Folks, remember Steven Silas? God, he was bad. Anyway, he said, everyone's playing hard. We're chasing something right now. We've all got the same goal. We've all got the same goal, Anthony. And everyone's on board with it. Please help me out with this edit. There's a reason that they're 8-1 in March. And that reason has a name. Jalen Green and Ime Udoka. Like I said, it's been a huge month. Jalen became a father-to-be for the first time with Drea. What will we call Drea? I mean, I think you know if you know who she is. Is she... I don't know, man. She's not an around the way girl. She's more like a every other city we go, every other video. I don't know. She's 18 years older than him. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Does that mean like she's instilling maturity in him? Does that mean that she's pulling some predatory behavior on him? I don't know. She's pregnant with Jalen Green's baby. At least we could put some of those rumors to bed that surfaced on social media last year when he old dorm room videos surfaced, if you know what I'm saying. His Rockets are 2.5 games out of the play-in with a shot at the playoffs. Dude is killing it. Great to see for a guy that a lot of people started to write off earlier this year. People started to say that the G League night wasn't any good just because of him. He was also named NBA Player of the Week. That was the first such award of his career. Good for Jalen Green. I clown around a lot. But Jalen Green was considered to be one of the most highly touted, highly hyped players in his draft class. So it's good to see a guy that people were excited to see finally start to produce at that level. It's easy to forget that things don't always come together so easily or come on the expected time frame. Zion, for example, it's been many years since Zion was supposed to produce, and now many years into his career, he's finally doing it. As Ime Udoka said, this has been building for a long time. The assist numbers, the shooting numbers, the defensive competitiveness, all of those areas have really improved. It's not just going to happen overnight. It's a little slower for some people, but it's really been clicking for Jalen. Even before the All-Star break, you could see signs, the double-doubles in a row, the 5-game stretch that he had. To put it all together now, it's even more needed with some guys going down to injury like Alperen Şengün. And to think, like I said before, the Nets turned down Jalen Green for 4 firsts. Jalen Green and 4 firsts for Mikal Bridges. The Nets are going to Nets, are they not? And the Rockets started this year blisteringly hot, faded, and now got hot again after their best player went down. If the Rockets make the playoffs after getting Ime Udoka, Dylan Brooks, and the junkyard dog Fred VanVleet, Ime Udoka should win Coach of the Year, and Jalen Green should be Most Improved Player. I know it's not going to happen, but if there's any justice in this world, it will. We end this show with a special interview with Robin Lundberg of SI Sports Illustrated. Robin has been an NBA insider for years. Join my other show, BetMGM Tonight, which airs Monday through Friday live from 7 to 11 Eastern. I was joined by my co-host, Ryan Horvath. Robin got into a ton of interesting NBA news and his thoughts on these teams going down to the stretch as we get into play-in tournament in the playoffs. So let's get right into it.
what do you think right now about the Milwaukee Bucks? Because they're paying technically three head coaches right now, Mike Budenholzer. We saw what happened with Adrian Griffin, and now Doc Rivers takes over. They were playing a little bit better, especially on the defensive end. No Giannis tonight. Just your overall thoughts right now on the Bucks in the Eastern Conference.
Well, number one, I think Doc Rivers is actually slightly underrated at this point in time, because I feel like he's gotten so much blowback for being a choker and a failure that people forget to realize, you know, his career record is well over 500. He is an NBA championship coach. He has been to another finals that they happen to lose in a game seven. I don't think the Lob City Clippers were some sort of juggernaut that was supposed to run roughshod over the league during that entire time frame. Now, I understand the blown 3-1 leads, and I understand some of the critique, but it's not like the Sixers were bad under his tenure either. I think this is a flawed Bucks roster in a sense, where you give up a guy like Jrue Holiday. Let's go back to the Olympics. People forget this, but Damian Lillard was the point guard for the Olympic team. Now, he was dealing with an injury at a time, to be fair, but that team got much better when Jrue Holiday came in and took over for Dame Lillard. It was really KD, Holiday, and Tatum that were the top three guys for that team because of what Holiday was able to do defensively. And you look at this Bucks squad, you know, Lillard brings that clutch time offense. He brings that logo shooting that we've all come to expect. But beyond him and Giannis, the in-between is a little lacking. The perimeter defense is a little lacking, and that's what would concern me about them in the postseason when things get hairy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Chris Middleton, we haven't seen him in quite some time with an ankle injury.
Yeah.
A team on the West that's in a very dangerous spot right now is the Lakers, Robin. They're 7-6 in their last 13, 1-2 in their last three. There's a lot of smoke here in terms of, like, if they don't make the play-in, what's going to happen with Darvin Ham? It just came out yesterday that Rob Pelinka overruled the scouting department, took Jalen Hood-Schifino over Jaime Jaquez and Cam Whitmore. But what do you think is the future this season for the Lakers? Obviously, they're very dangerous if they do get into the playoffs, but there's a couple of teams that are hot on their tails.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, LeBron's basketball IQ will do a lot for them. He can diagram the plays with J.J. Redick as they get closer to make sure that they don't fall out of the postseason contention. The Lakers are a flawed team. I mean, you pointed it out. It's a flawed roster. You know, they've got some good players, but they've lacked that real outside shooting for a minute now. Obviously, you know, if you look at the way that the organization has been run, if LeBron didn't go there, we'd be talking about the Lakers as some sort of epic, historic failure, considering what they once were versus what they were toward the end of Kobe's time and after Kobe's time there before LeBron got there. Now, the benefit for them is the play-in tournament, which makes it so much harder to fall out of the playoffs. And I think anytime you get into a constricted situation where you're playing, you know, fewer number of games and you can rely more on the top of your lineup, it benefits them, obviously, because of who they employ in LeBron James and to a lesser degree, Anthony Davis. So I still think they're dangerous if they can get into a playoff scenario. We saw a similar thing last year. And the most important thing for them, to be honest, is going to be health. You know, if those guys are healthy when they get there, it gives them the proverbial puncher's chance, I would say.
If Anthony Davis had 50 straight double-doubles, would that be covered differently than Domantas Sabonis, who now has surpassed that?
Perhaps. Here's the thing with AD. The thing with AD is he's never going to be what we cast him to be. You know, the biggest anomaly out of the bubble was Anthony Davis's shooting, where he looked like the second coming of KD. And since then, the real problem there is he's a terrific defensive player, very versatile player. When he's got the energy going, he scores because he's cutting, diving, grabbing rebounds, putting them back up, all that stuff. But he doesn't have that much of a bag. He doesn't have that much of a jump shot. And we thought at that time, okay, LeBron's going to hand the reins over to Anthony Davis. It's going to be Anthony Davis's team, and LeBron's going to take a step back. That is never going to happen. And the thing is, Sabonis and Anthony Davis are on a similar tier. I mean, I know Sabonis owns him head-to-head. We've all seen that. But that is closer than people realize, I think, and therein lies the rub. But, you know, of course, AD plays for the Lakers and plays next to LeBron James, while Sabonis plays in Sacramento, which is covered a little bit differently.
All right, so I wanted to ask you about Wemby. He's going to be Rookie of the Year, although we really like Chet. We like Jaime Jaquez as well. But, like, I'm looking at Defensive Player of the Year. He's down to plus 350. Rudy Gobert is minus 500. The last 15 games, I know it's a season-long award, but I was looking at this, and the Spurs, like, the last 15 games, the defensive rating with Wemby on the floor, 107.3, which is actually better than Minnesota's top spot. With him off the floor, 119.3, which would be 29th overall. Do you think he has a shot to actually win this award, or no, it's Rudy Gobert's?
Well, I mean, you look at the odds, and I think those are the odds that would give him a shot. I mean, I would certainly, it'd be worth a, as Trista likes to say, a sprinkle, and then if you get it wrong, you could just blame your interpreter, you know, and you'll be good. But as far as Wemby goes, from an ability standpoint, I think it's the problem is it takes a minute to catch up, and that's the problem. I mean, I think he said it himself, like, this is Rudy Gobert's last year, and then it's my territory. But when you watch it, when you watch him, I watched the Nets game. He ate Nick Claxton alive on a couple of possessions back-to-back, or the same possession, back-to-back plays. Claxton tries to go up, blocks him. Claxton tries to go up again, blocks him. And the talent is just freakish, which is why he was pegged the way he was pegged coming in. Is he the most impactful defensive player in the league? I would say yes. If I had a vote, I would vote for him. As far as him actually winning it, looking at that board, there's only two players who have a chance. One has a better chance than the other, but it's more than a complete total long shot.
Robin, we were doing the Lord's work. You know, sometimes people get mad when you shame players into doing their job, but somehow, some way, multiple years have gone past, and now all of a sudden I look up and Zion has lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament. You watch him on the court and you're like, oh my God, he's shredded. He has the elevation and he's got that vertical back. My goodness, what will it take, do you think, for us to flip the narrative on Zion? And what do you think the Pelicans can become? Because it's starting to get out that the Pelicans could be a dangerous team in the West.
Well, I think it's happening now. I mean, the fact that you're asking that question and obviously what we've seen from Zion. I've never been the biggest Brandon Ingram fan. My concern for Zion is more, like, from a basketball standpoint, is more on the defensive end, because unlike Wembanyama, he's not incredibly long, and then he's so big and strong, he's not incredibly deft moving laterally. So I think he can be put in some tough spots in mismatches and cross matches and
you're
the like.
You're calling him a bowling ball.
A little bit. But he is a monster. And it's funny, we talk about you guys, I think you guys were talking about March Madness at the top of the segment before I came on. He feels like the last college basketball star on the men's side in many ways. You know, we haven't really seen that since then. But the reason he was so hyped, we're starting to see now. And what was addressed was his conditioning and him actually just being healthy and out on the floor, because the one thing he can provide is just like monstrous efficiency. He never misses around the basket. He's incredibly adept at finishing. Nobody can really stop him. If they can get the perimeter play to match that, they're going to be a very dangerous team. I'm just not so sure I trust that they have that cohort to go with him. To get to the NBA finals or make a deep run in the NBA playoffs. You know, obviously they should get there.
How far do you think they could go?
I think they could win a round, possibly, depending on the matchup, but I think that's about it. I mean, look, these teams that we're talking about, we talk about for a reason, right? I mean, the Denver Nuggets, clearly.
Yep.
The Timberwolves look like they're for real. Obviously, the Clippers, if they're healthy, are legitimate. And you have just up and down the West, even though all those play-in teams feel... Who would you pick, the Pelicans or the Lakers in a playoff series? If it came down, I would still pick the Lakers in a playoff series.
Probably.
Because of the guy who wears number 23, right? Like, so, you know, same with the Warriors. Because we literally saw it last year, where those two teams felt like they were... And then they wind up in a great playoff series. So I think until I see them do it, I'm skeptical that they're going to advance even past one.
Yeah, we hit on the Pelicans, Clippers, Wolves, and Nuggets, but not the one seed right now. That'd be the Thunder. Do you think the Thunder are good enough to win a playoff series, a couple playoff series? Like, what do you think their ceiling is this year for OKC?
I mean, I think their ceiling is the NBA Finals. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do feel like that's a realistic ceiling, and I think this core could eventually get there. I mean, because they can check all the boxes with Williams, with Holmgren, obviously with SGA. You know, so they have a real complete team, and I know Sixers was the process, but it was the process realized. But again, I would be skeptical until we actually see them do that, because we've seen a lot of teams have really good regular seasons, and then when they run into the playoffs, it's that experience, it's that you know, been there, done that. When you're in that 7-game series and the other team knows your tendencies, how do you react? How do you react to those pressure situations? And I would still lean with the teams that we've at least seen dip their toes into the water.
I'd be remiss to not have you on and ask you about the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson is now looking more and more likely to see the court very soon. We know OG Anunoby is dealing with some elbow inflammation, but I'm not really too worried about that. I've dug into the lab, talked to some people. It's just a precautionary thing before the playoffs. No word on Julius Randle yet, but obviously Jalen Brunson is the key to making this whole thing go. Now that most of the pieces are starting to congeal back together healthy, where are we at on the Knicks?
I think the Knicks are a dangerous team if they're healthy. I do. I mean, look, just last year, the Knicks were right there with Miami, who wound up in the finals. You look at that, the way that these numbers bear out. I mean, all those teams are bunched up. Now, that's telling you all those teams are similar quality. The Knicks beat the Cavaliers just last season. I think it's those three guys. Mitchell Robinson would be good for them, but I don't think that's really what matters. I think it's Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, Julius Randle. They need those three guys healthy and available in the playoffs, because they provide different elements for them too. You know, Anunoby was exactly what they needed between Brunson and Randle. I still have concerns, even if he's on the floor, about how he handles pressure situations, because he hasn't done that well in the past, but he can really score. And Brunson has proven himself as somebody who can get his shot anytime he wants.
Thanks so much, man. Robin Lumberg right there. Follow him on Twitter, Robin Lumberg.
That's all the time that we have for this episode of The Heat Check. Many thanks to Robin Lumberg and the whole gang at BetMGM tonight. Come back Monday for an all-new episode. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini-episodes, which drop unexpectedly like a three-pointer from the corner from Miss Cinderella and the big dance like, ha! Do not forget to follow The Heat Check as we head down the stretch. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. All of them. Even that fox that lives in the bamboo grove behind your house and is actually out there banging on our garbage can and banging on his wife, Mama Fox, having babies in your backyard. Say, hey, leave my garbage alone. But if you have some downtime, listen to The Heat Check. It's awesome, even for foxes. And do not forget to follow us on At This Heat Check. That's ridiculous. And At This Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. And once again, we're back on YouTube. When the video is going to happen, I don't know, but follow us. We'll see you next time.